We serve a mighty God. Amen. I don't care if you don't believe me or not. I said we serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. I felt a special move of the Lord here this morning. He's not done yet. Amen. If you turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 13. Thank you for being here tonight, folks. Thank you for your faithfulness to the kingdom of God. Amen. You're part of the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says, seek his will in all that you do. All you do. Do we do that today? In everything you do, do you seek God's will? I think sometimes we pick and choose, don't you? Seek his will in all you do. Listen to this. And he will show you which path to take. Anybody here like being lost? If you're driving and you get into some cities, you might get, pray real quick, Lord, please get me out of here. But God says, I'll show you which path you should take. Let's look at Genesis chapter 13. We'll read verse 10 through 18. Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord or the beautiful land of Egypt. And this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. And he went there with his flocks and servants and parted company with his uncle Abram. So Abram settled in the land of Canaan. And Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plain. But the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord. After Lot had gone, and the Lord said to Abram, look as far as you can, see in every direction, north and south, east and west. I am giving all this land, as far as you can see, to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. And I will give you so many descendants that, like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I am giving it to you. So Abram moved his camp to Hebron and settled near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. There he built another altar to the Lord. Why wouldn't we want to follow the direction of the Lord? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you. God, I just pray right now that you'll just move here in a mighty way in this house tonight. God, that you'll speak to every heart here tonight. That you anoint your servant, Lord, to speak your word. Hallelujah. God, I pray right now that you'll bless us in this place tonight. And God, help us to take the right path. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight. The prayerless and selfish choices of Lot. The prayerless and selfish choices of Lot. How in the world, folks, how in the world did Lot? The Bible said Lot was a righteous man. Hear me tonight. The Bible says he was a righteous man. He was a Christian. So how in the world did Lot, a righteous man, wind up in such a situation? Lingering in Sodom, having to be dragged out of the city by God. Think about that tonight. Folks, understand. Hear me tonight. Lot didn't wake up just one morning in a predicament in Sodom. It just didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen that all of a sudden he woke up one day and said, I'm done. I'm going to Sodom. I'm just going to live any way I want. You know how it happened? Little by little. Lot traveled down a gradual slope over a number of years. You know how he did it? He made a number of wrong choices. He made very costly, terrible decisions. That's how this happened to Lot. Lot was not initially guilty of deliberate obedience, or disobedience. Okay? It wasn't that he sat down with his pastor Abraham, and Abraham said, da, 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 da. And he says, I don't want to hear it. It was little decisions here and there. Deliberate things. Things that cost him dearly. Lot, he was guilty of deliberate disobedience. Little by little. But the choices he made, I hope you understand this tonight. The choices that Lot made destroyed himself and his family. You don't live on an island alone. Now let me tell you something. Here's a revelation. You ready for a revelation tonight? Choices have consequences. Come on. What you choose determines the course of your life and your character. Now, as we look at Lot's decision, I want you to ask yourself, am I guilty of making similar mistakes like Lot? Decisions. Am I guilty of making wrong decisions? Now, I wonder, folks, I wonder tonight, maybe somebody here can answer. I wonder if Lot prayed through his decisions to set himself up in Sodom and Gomorrah. What do you think? You think he prayed about it? You think he talked to his pastor about it? I wonder if Lot sought God. I wonder if he prayed and fasted about his decision to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. I wonder if he sought God for his will, God's will in his life. You see, he decided on where to move himself and his family. Lot made decisions without seeking God. I don't read anywhere where Lot sought God. I don't see anywhere where Lot put up an altar. But he made decisions to move himself and his family in an area that ended up destroying himself and his family. After all, folks, the plain was well watered. It looked like the garden of the Lord. We read it in Scripture. It looked like the integrated areas of the land of Egypt. In other words, the decision he made was based on something that looked good. It was based on something that he thought, this ought to be good for me. Let me tell you something. Everything that looks good is not always necessarily good for you. What did Eve do? She looked at something that looked good. And she had to have it. Right? It looked good. It looked, for Salat, it looked like the irrigated areas of Egypt. And it looked great. It looked like the obvious choice. After all, why not? It's good for me. You see, folks, listen to me. Lot wanted the best in life. Don't we all? Don't we all want the best in life? And I think sometimes we think we deserve it. I work hard. Why can't I have this? Why can't I have that? Well, if God thinks it's good for you, then go ahead. You see, from a natural point of view, if we're honest, we can't blame Lot. We do the same things. Right? We can be pretty selfish, don't we? See, we make decisions, oftentimes important decisions, based on how things look, how I'm going to feel, what I think is best. Don't we want the best? Isn't that what we're looking for, the best? The best working conditions for the best salary. Who cares if it keeps you out of church? It's the best working conditions. The best money. I want the best car. It doesn't matter if I can pay for it or not. Right? I want the best home I can afford. I want it in a community with good schools and good services. I want to work for that company. They pay the best. Why do I need to be a part of a church when I can just pop in here and there whenever I want? Why do I need to commit myself to it? I know it's a long drive if I buy this house way out somewhere, but I know it's a long drive to church, but it's okay. I knew people over the years that done that. I begged them not to do it. I'll be at church for the first 6 months, and they started missing. That's all right. That's what's best for me. Lot thought so too. See, Lot didn't go to church once he got in Sodom. He was a righteous man, was he not? The Bible said it. Once he got in Sodom, no, things changed. I know he looks cute. That's what she says. Oh, he's cute. Oh, man, she's smoking hot. Come on. Come on. Oh, they're getting quiet on me here. She's so cute. He's so smoking hot. I know pastor teaches biblical relationships for God's people, but I don't agree. I don't agree. I agree with everything else in the Bible, but I don't agree with that. I don't care. I don't need to be an example for everybody else. Oh, I need to park here a little bit, huh? It's getting quiet. Come on. Now think about this, folks. What you can know. Think about what you can know about a person. Okay? Only what they tell you. Only what they want you to know. You can know how he or she looks and sounds. You can know what is in his or her mind. You can't know, I'm sorry. You can't know what's in his or her mind. You can't know his or her intent. You can't know what he or she plans for the future. You can't know what's in his or her heart. Ooh, it's quiet in here. But understand this, folks. Understand this tonight. God knows everything there is to know about a person. Come on. God knows everything there is to know. Listen. Think of what you can know about your environment right now. Think about it. Right now, you can only know what's happening in the past based on recorded history and your own memory. Right? And you can only know what's in the present based on your senses. So if being inside this building right now, you can only know what's happening inside these four walls of this room that you're in. In the future, you can't for sure what might happen even 1 second into the future. You can't know it. So, the plane that he looked at, that Lot looked at, may look well watered. The choice may look appealing to you. The decision might appear to be obvious. But what does the Lord want? Huh? I'm telling you, folks, things don't always appear as they look. What does God want for your life? Who does God want you to be with? What house does God want you to live in? What job does God want you to have? What pastor does God want you to have? Come on. Lot made major mistakes in his decision making. But look, folks, look who Lot wound up keeping company with. He took the best stuff. But look what happened to Lot. In Genesis 13:13, but the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord. Lot based his decision on appearance, on the material. Appearances tonight, folks, are deceiving. Jesus Christ warned in John 7:24, judge not according to appearance. Well, I just know that she's the one for me. I just know he's it. Did you ask God? I just know I need to move to this church. God told me. Didn't God just tell you to come here? I wish God would make up his mind sometimes, don't you folks? God always changes his mind. Oh, it's quiet. Come on, is this the word of God or what, folks? You know why sometimes we don't want to hear from God? We don't want to hear what he has to say. We know what he's going to say. But I want to do what I want to do. Well, you go right ahead. Lot did too. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Don't trust appearances. Remember, folks, Satan is a great deceiver. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You see, folks, Satan is a pro at putting window dressing on evil to make it look good. You know what? You can get a clear glass of spring water with a few drops of cyanide. Looks innocent, but it's deadly. Come on. Sadly, Lot is going to find out reality of his decisions. In James 1:14-15, it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Lot looked for a city that was built by human hands, while Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Amen? You see what, folks? Lot failed to realize that material things only temporarily satisfy. Now you contrast Lot's choice with Moses.
Moses said in Hebrews 11, 24 through 26, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than their treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There's a man by the name of James Boyce. He said this: you may think that you are different from Lot. I bet everybody here tonight thinks, well, I'm not Lot. I wouldn't. You may think. But if you have put your job ahead of your family's spiritual life, if you have put your social advancements ahead of your proper association with God's people, if you have let your choice of home keep you from a church in which you can grow in faith and worship, you have moved from the highlands to the plain of the Jordan. We could add other indicators to this list. If you are focusing your life on externals and not on your spiritual life, you are focusing on wrong issues. If your focus is on attaining status rather than cultivating character, you are focusing on the wrong issues. If you are more concerned with what something costs monetarily instead of what it costs spiritually, you are focusing on the wrong issues. If you are focusing on what will be the most enjoyable instead of what is the most beneficial, you are focusing on the wrong issues. Another big mistake was that Lot failed to ask God what God wanted. You see, there is no mention, folks, that Lot ever sought the face of God in making his decisions. Seeking God's advice is a matter of just asking. James 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unabraded not, and it shall be given him. Just ask. You see, Lot failed to seek God's advice in Genesis 19. And we see Lot reluctant to follow God's advice when it was given to him. God went down after him because of his pastor's prayers. I'm telling you, folks, sometimes your prayers will drag you out of messes that you wouldn't have done yourself. All the while, Lot's down there not thinking of anything, of anybody else other than what he wants. His pastor's praying for him. And because of the prayers of his pastor, God tries to drag him out of the city. He don't even want to listen. Lot failed to seek God's advice. You see, most often we fail to seek God's advice because we don't want to hear God's answer. Come on. Come on. Well, I don't want God to tell me no on this. I'll just do it. It's easier to get forgiveness than to get permission. What if you don't get a chance to ask God for forgiveness? In Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Folks, why not tap into that? Huh? Listen, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Why not tap into that? Why not ask God? God, what do you think about this? You know everything. God, I don't want somebody trying to pull the wool over my eyes. God, I don't know their bad intentions. It may look good on the... Come on. Come on. It may look good, but their intentions may be just trying to get me somewhere where I don't need to be. Abraham tapped into it. Abraham, the Bible says, built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord in Genesis 12. Did Lot do it? No, Abraham did. Abraham did. And look at the results. God told Abraham in Genesis 13, 14 through 16, after Lot had gone and done what he wanted to do, the Lord said to Abram, look as far as you can see in every direction, north and south, east and west. I am giving all the land as far as you can see to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. And that's what Abraham's response, his response was, when God told him that, he says, Abraham, since you asked me, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to everything you can see, as far as you can see, I'm going to give you all that. And Abraham, in verse 18, builds an altar. He builds another altar. Nowhere in Scripture do we find Lot building an altar to God. But he was a righteous man. Let me tell you something, folks. Just because you're baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost doesn't mean you can't mess up. I've seen it. Sister Renee, you've been around a long time. You've seen a lot of mess ups? Come on. We've been around a long time, folks. I've been in this since I was a kid, 4 years old. I've seen a lot of mess ups. People thought they were going after something that looked good, what they wanted. They're not serving God today. Abraham's response to what God, after seeking God, he built another altar. So, folks, often when we find ourselves in positions of having to make an important decision, we do so based on our own impressions. Now, it may feel awkward, it may feel different, but as it did for Abraham, it will result in tremendous blessings when we seek the Lord before making important decisions. The way to do that is to pray for wisdom. Come on, why don't we pray for wisdom? Pray through your decisions. Pray for the Lord to direct your steps. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Study the Scriptures, amen? To the degree to which you immerse yourself in God's Word is the degree to which you enjoy God's peace about your decisions in life. Keep yourself immersed in that Scripture, for the Word of God is living and full of power. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divided asunder of the soul and spirit, and to the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Why won't we tap into that? We need to fast. When Paul and Barnabas were deciding who to appoint as elders in the churches, they fasted and prayed through their decisions. In Acts 14:23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord of whom they believed. You see, in most Christian cultures today, fasting is out of fashion. But while underutilized, fasting unto the Lord remains one of the most powerful tools made available to you. Here goes one. Seek wise counsel. Seeking wise counsel from those who are wiser and more godly than you will make a tremendous difference in your life, folks. Seeking wise counsel from God Himself, reading His Scripture, fasting unto Him, and praying through life's decisions will make big differences. Here's another one. Hang with the right people. In reality, when it comes to relationship decisions, there are only two categories of people to connect with. Amen. In respective of race of color, region, age, sexual orientation, spend time only with those who will influence you for God's kingdom. And those who you will influence for God's kingdom. Folks, I pray that we are trying to make a difference in people's lives. I pray that you never find yourself standing before the Lord in the white throne judgment, and the people that you hung with every day said, "Why didn't you tell me?" You see, it pays to be conservative when you choose who to hang with. Lot is spoken of in the Bible as a righteous man. But later we see that he seemed to have little or no influence for God's kingdom on the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. We have to study Scripture and fast unto the Lord. Pray through your decisions, folks. Then make your decisions and trust the Lord to be with you and to help you and to never forsake you. Jeremiah 29:11. Listen to this. Why wouldn't we want to know a God like this? "For I know the plans I have for you." Do you know that God has plans for your life? Why wouldn't we want God's plans in our life? "For I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope." Why don't we tap into that? Of course, the most important choice you'll make is to choose to live for Jesus Christ. Let's stand here tonight. The most important choice you can make is to choose to live for Jesus Christ. You see, folks, this is a choice with eternal consequences. I said it is a choice with eternal consequences. Because understand this tonight, folks. Eternity is a long time. We need to choose Jesus. We need tonight to choose Jesus. I want what Jesus wants for me. Come on. You see, folks, it's important to be a part of the body of Christ, is it not? It's important to have leadership in your life. And when you are making decisions in life, if your leadership is not happy with it, you should run from it. Because that's one way you can tell if you're in the will of God. Is if your leadership is on board with you. I pray and hope that you don't think I want the worst for you. Young people, who you pick is important. Besides the Lord, that's the best thing ever happened to me right there. I promise you, you better thank God for it. Wanted what God wanted. See, I was in a mess before I met her. And I said, "God, I want somebody that's going to love you as much as I do or more." And I met my wife. You see, if my pastor didn't want it, I didn't want it. It's just the way it is, folks. In fact, he told us we needed to wait. My wife got fuming mad. You don't see her mad often, but she was hot. She was mad. Because her pastor said he didn't think it was good at the time, and we needed to wait for her old former pastor. Because we wanted him to be a part. So I said, "Listen, if that's what you want, we'll wait. We don't necessarily agree, but we will. We'll do what you say." And when my pastor talked to us, he says, "You know what? With that attitude right there, I think you're ready." And he talked to her pastor, and everything went good. Her former pastor. She had left there. But if they would have said no, we would have waited. Wouldn't have been happy about it. But see, I wanted the leading of the Lord in my life. Because you know what, folks? If I would have went against everything my pastor wanted, I wouldn't be here today. I'm telling you, folks, I promise you, you can ask, you can call my, I'll give you his number. We had a path worn to his office from our house. What do you think about this? Not that we had to. We didn't have to. We could do whatever we wanted. But we just wanted God's will in our life. We didn't want to make mistakes that get us into a lot of problems and troubles. Pastor, what do you think? He probably got tired of us. Here we are again. How you doing, guys? He would always put on a smile. But you know what? He understood something. He understood that we wanted to live for God. How important God was in our life, in our relationship. He understood that. And I believe it made him happy. And I promise you tonight, folks, I love everybody under the sound of my voice here. I want God's best for you. One of the reasons that I do what I do, that I pastor church, and it ain't always easy, I promise you that. But I believe I'm a blessed man. And I want others to have what I have. That's one of the reasons I do what I do. I see the ugliness in this world and I can't stand it. And we can have awesome lives in Jesus Christ. We can live great lives if we just allow God to lead us. This is not in my notes. This is all free. But I just feel to tell you from my heart tonight that I want God's best for you. And I'm asking you tonight to choose Jesus. Choose living for Jesus, folks. Allow Him to help you in your decision making. Allow Him to lead and guide you. And if God says no, there's a reason. God knows you better than you know you. Come on. So I want to open this altar tonight. And maybe you've been bucking God and His will and His desire for your life. And I want you to come here tonight and say, God, help me. Help me to make the right decisions going forward. God, I may have messed up. I made a lot of mess of everything. But God, for right now, God, I want to start going on the right path. I know I'm going to have to reap what I sow. I understand that. But God, from right now, from here on out, I want your will for my life. Can we do that tonight, folks? Come on, this altar's open. Hallelujah.
You